The scripture reading this morning is taken from Isaiah chapter 63, verses 7 to 9. I will tell of the kindness of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good things he has done for the house of Israel, according to his compassions and many kindnesses. He said, surely they are my people, sons who will not be false to me. And so he became their saviour. In all their distress, he too was distressed, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading this morning.
Fifth Sunday of the new Christian calendar that started on 1st of December for Advent. This is a funny day, a peculiar day in the Christian calendar, because Christmas has come and Epiphany hasn't arrived yet. It's almost, in the Christian calendar, it's referred to as Lowly Sunday. How you can have Lowly Sunday after Christmas Day, I don't know. Of all the words they could have used in the Christian, in the English language, how we got to lowly to refer to today when there's been so much feast. And good morning, everyone.
Morning.
It's good to be with you on this last Sunday of the calendar year. Our happiness for most who have shared in time together, I don't know. One of the scripture readings today in the lectionary is this one from Isaiah 63, and it talks in this passage around how we are encouraged to be thankful. I'll be honest, I'm always surprised, don't know why, that as part of our sharing time when we share together, somebody plants a seed thought that hijacks, and you could almost go, that'll preach, leave the sermon alone. It happened more than once today, which is fantastic. So I'm going to sit down and we're going to have our lunch. No, we're not. What a shame. It's not morning tea yet. Thanks very much. One of the things that I heard today, and it plants a seed for what we're going to look at in the next couple of weeks, is our a challenge for us for 2020. And I'm going to plant another seed about it to maybe let the God Spirit work in your heart around this. Something Karen said we're going to look at today, having an attitude of gratitude. Something that Neil said is that we struggle to know each other. And in the new year, if people have remembered anything that I've waffled on about or preached on or whatever word you'd like to use, I mentioned at the end of November that we're going to look in January at what it means to be needed, known and noticed. And I think as a church, our community needs to know that they're needed, that they're known. They're not just people that are around, but we actually know them, and that they're noticed. We notice when they're hurting. We notice when they're doing well. We notice the exciting things that are happening in their life. It's not just, oh, well, nobody noticed. Now, it's going to be hard work, because if we're going to commit to being needed, known, and noticed for a whole year, then actually we're going to have to be thinking of others for a whole year. And it's not going to be easy. And we'll make mistakes. I'm excited about making mistakes, because that means we're pushing the envelope. We're not comfortable. But today we're looking at being grateful. And I think one of the ways that we can let someone know that they're noticed and needed is when we're grateful for them. There's this concept of looking back and remembering is something that is built into the very fabric of Scripture. The entire concept of the Passover is a remembering of how God was faithful to the people of Israel in the Exodus from Egypt, wasn't it? They had the Passover feast, as an opportunity to remember. There are many feasts that happened within the Hebrew culture and Jewish traditions. We have picked up a few. But one of the ones that we haven't picked up is the Feast of the Passover, because in Luke chapter 22, it's recorded that Jesus has said, "Do this in remembrance of me." It actually shifts it from an Old Testament tradition and shifts it to the New Testament. But remembering is so important to them, and I think it's really important to us as well, because as we look back on the year that we've had and on the years that we've had, we can see that God is faithful. I noticed that nobody said this morning, "I want to thank God that the life was so easy this year." Nobody said that. And I'm okay with that, because it means that there's a few more people in my camp, because life wasn't easy for me either. There were tough days. There were days when you wondered how we were getting to the end of that hour, let alone that day. There were moments in the year where we looked and I couldn't see hope on the horizon a few times. There were moments in the year where I wondered where was God in all of this? There were moments in the year where you, maybe, like me, unintentionally hurt others, and that was never your intention, but it happened. And equally, there were moments of the year where you were hurt by others and you didn't see it coming. But one thing that we did hear this morning is that in the midst of all of that, there were many moments in the year where God was faithful. And that's why we come to celebrate, and we are thankful to Him this morning, and there's a power in remembering. There's a power in the remembering. Looking back on this year and on years gone past and seeing God's hand at work in it. Before the Israelites crossed the Jordan River, Moses reminded them who was the one to give them that land. Maybe you have had a tough year. Maybe if you were to have a report card of the year, I'm sorry to mention report cards for the teachers in the room when we're supposed to be forgetting school for at least another 3 weeks, and students. But maybe if we were to put a report card out for the year, there would be, it was above average, or it was average, or below average, or let's just look to 2020 and forget 2019 happened at all. But if we were to do that, if we were to forget 2019 and just look to 2020, we would actually delete opportunities to celebrate God's faithfulness, God's goodness to us. In verse 7, Debbie read that God expresses according to His compassion and loving kindness. Many years ago, and we still sing it from time to time, we used to sing a song that said, "Count your blessings, count, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done." I think sometimes when we practice the pause, which I don't do very well, I've got a PhD in not practicing pause. Ask my wife, she wrestles with me about that hourly. Not going to say daily, hourly. Asking me to slow down, just take a moment, it'll be okay. And I'm all the time, right? Sometimes in the craziness of going flat out, you miss. I have a friend of mine who likes to take trips in the car. And we used to live together in Ballina. She said to me one day, "Oh, I'll need to leave soon. I've got to be in Brisbane at 3:00. I said, "It's 8 a.m. Like, wake up to yourself. It's 2 hours, mate. You don't have to leave till 1. "No, it takes me 5 hours to get to Brisbane." I said, "Where are you going?" Well, she said, "I stop at the lookout at Lennox Head." I said, that's 9 minutes away. Why would you do that? And then I stop at Finglehead. Finglehead. No wonder it took 5 hours. I stop at Tweedheads. Then I stop at Surfers Paradise. And I'm like, I can't drive with you. I'm never driving with you anywhere. And she said, and then, before I go into Brisbane, I drive to Mount Cutha. And I have a look. I'm like, what are you on? You've just wrecked a trip to Brisbane. She said, no, I haven't. I take my time. I said, you take your time? That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. When I drive, I get in the car and I'm heading for the destination. I am getting better at asking if people need to stop for the toilet. See, there's a growth opportunity for me. It's only because the children are very loud. But I'm the kind of person that gets in and goes to aim for the destination. The other person that I'm referring to, she actually enjoys the journey along the way. And I wonder sometimes whether we are so bent on getting to the end zone, whatever that looks like, of our day. You know, I'm a task-orientated person. I like to-do lists, and they make me happy, and nothing makes me happier than ticking something off it. Oh, that takes me to another level. But sometimes I'm so task-orientated in getting the job done that I miss out on seeing where God has moved in amongst it. Anyone else been in that category? Has there been times during this year where we have been so focused on ticking the box, let's just get this done, that we've actually missed seeing where God has been moving amongst us in our life? Have we been so busy ticking the tasks that we've stopped taking the opportunity to count the blessings? Isaiah also refers to the fact that God had adopted Israel as his people and had become their savior. He did not do this because the Hebrews were the biggest and the best. He did not do it because of any other reason but because of his grace. When was the last time that you spent time thanking God for his grace for you? We sing the hymn, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. Does it still amaze us? Does God's extravagant love for us still amaze us? Or is it just something that we keep to ourselves? I wonder, is it something that is going to continue to amaze you into 2020? There are times throughout our lives where we continue to be amazed. We continue to be amazed by what God has done for us. His grace is sufficient for us. So there are times when I wonder, I've got some big things going on, God, I'm not sure. I have this seed of doubt sometimes, right? Anyone else got that? Where they doubt that, I know that you're big, God, and I know that you've got it sorted, but if you needed some help, these are the things that I'd probably be doing. You see, sometimes I think we pray to God asking him to fix things and then don't actually trust that he's sovereign to do it, that he might need our help along the way. There are certainly times when I've tried to give God my opinion if in case he needed it. Anyone else been in that category? Where they've thought, well, I know you're God and I know you're sovereign and I know you've got it, but can I help? Anyone ever been in the kitchen with young people? Like little people, trying to help? I remember being in the kitchen with my nana, and she always used to make a batch of scones, and we'd all always end up with 18 scones. I don't know how, but always 18 scones. After she passed away, we made the same batch. There was 40 scones. I don't know how that happened, except that we realized that she used to let us eat the dough, right? When we were kids, oh yeah, just have a little bit. Or, and then we realized that she made the double batch so that we could eat it along the way and we still had enough. I think one of the most stressful things about being in the kitchen is that not following the recipe. I have people in my life, not going to mention any names, Debbie, who just seems to be able to walk in the kitchen and, oh, this bit of this, bit of that. And there's others in the room who I found out are in the same category. But if I don't follow the exact recipe, then it will be a failure for sure. Sometimes I think we are so fixated on the recipe for a good life and recipe for this that we don't trust that God's got it and that a little bit of this and a little bit of that will be okay because He is sovereign after all. He doesn't need our help in the kitchen. We'll put a little bit extra of that in there and then it turns out to be bad. I don't do anything without an exact recipe. I tried to cook a cake the other day. Turned out okay. I ate it. I'm not dead. So it must have been okay. But they need to change the recipe because I couldn't make it cook to the numbers that it said you had to have, right? It said 45 minutes. Well, it wasn't ready at 45 minutes. So I was over the cake then. But you just have to be a bit flexible, right? And I think sometimes in life, if things don't go according to our plan, we forget the scripture that says that how far are our plans from His plans and our thoughts from His thoughts. And we wash our hands of things. Isaiah painted a beautiful word picture of the empathetic love of God. And I love this verse. When He hurts when we hurt, He sends His angel to help us. And even picks us up and carries us, it says in verse 9. Only God knows how many times we've been in danger and He has protected us. Some of us are alive to face a new year because God has guided us out of trouble. Certainly all of us can see that God's hand has been at work. And we have heard time and time again this morning that God is faithful. Let us go into this new year being thankful that God has heard us when we have cried out to Him. And that we can look back at the last year and the gifts and blessings that He has given us and live today and this next year with an attitude of gratitude, being able to say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, that You are faithful to us, that when we cried out to You, You heard our call. And we look forward to this next year of being able to see that God continues to be faithful, continues to see that we are in His plan and in His care, and that we will see opportunities to wrestle out the thoughts around being needed, known, and noticed into the new year. Let's pray together. Our loving God, we say thank You for all that You do for us. We say thank You that You have brought blessings to us. Lord, we say thank You for the continued outpouring of Your grace upon our lives. Lord, as we move into 2020, we would ask, O God, that You would take our lives and let them be Your vessels to minister Your grace within our community. That people would see in us a picture of You. Wherever we find ourselves, God, may we be able to faithfully minister Your grace and Your love to those with whom we meet. And we pray these things in Your name. Amen.